If you weren't in our service this morning, we started a message that, Lord willing, we're going to finish tonight. That wasn't the original plan, but I didn't want to keep you to 1 o'clock this morning to get all that through. But I'd like for us to just quickly review what we talked about this morning. We looked at James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4, and talked about the word patience there specifically, meaning that in the New Testament, it was the characteristic of a man who has not swavered or from his deliberate purpose in his loyalty to faith and piety by even the greatest trials and sufferings. And so that joy that we can have in difficulties produces patience. Patience then produces that perfect work, that we may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing, as James chapter 1 tells us. And then we looked at some facts about our difficulties, about our trials. Just quickly run through those again for us as we review a little bit. You may be part of an intense spiritual battle was the first thing we talked about and referenced the story of Job and how Satan and God were there and Satan was accusing, as he does all the brethren, and God was bringing before him the testimony of Job. Letter B, it may be designed to show the works of God. And we went to the story in John chapter 9, where he asked about the blind man, which one sinned, he or his parents? And Lord Jesus said, neither one, but that the works of God should be made manifest. Letter C, it may be chastening. God may be disciplining you as a son. Hebrews chapter 12, we talked about that. Letter D, it may be purging. In John 15, he talks about taking away the branch that doesn't bear fruit, and those that do, he purges so that they can bear more fruit. Job 23 told us that it may appear that God is nowhere to be found. We looked behind him and in front of him and to the left and to the right, and it just didn't appear that God was anywhere around. But Job concluded that God knows the way that I take, and when he had tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Letter F, we talked about it could be the result of other sin. We went to Joshua chapter 7 and verse 5, and the defeated Ai, 36 men died as a result of Achan's sin in that battle that took place there, the city of Ai. Or G, we talked about it expanding your ministry in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, where God says, when I comfort you, you can then comfort others, and the ability to expand the ministry of comforting other people. Letter H, it may lead to other salvation. Paul says, as we suffer and are afflicted, it's leading to the salvation of those in Corinth. And Paul said it was worth it to do that. Letter I, it may be the only way to have God's power in your life. We went to the passage in 2 Corinthians where Paul says that the messenger of Satan has been a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me. But God said, let's don't talk about this anymore. My grace is sufficient for you. And Paul says, most gladly would I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. And then lastly, we talked about it could be because of who you know. The fact that you're the child of the Lord Jesus Christ and are trying to be a testimony for him, then that could be the reason that you're being attacked. And that's the only way to cease that is to stop being a testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ, which I don't think is a good option. So that was some facts about the trials that we have. Let's look at number two, the fixing of your trials. What do we do then? What is our response to these things? And we're going to try to walk through those tonight. As we said this morning, when you don't understand, you must trust God. That's the bottom line. We must trust a loving Heavenly Father. And let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. We pray tonight that we'd be an encouragement to your people. Thank you for those that are here tonight. And we pray, Lord, perhaps even for those who would listen to this on our website later on, for those going through difficulties, that this would be an encouragement to them also. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. We talked this morning about one of the possible facts about the trials was that it could be chastening. So in other words, you may be doing something wrong. There may be sin in your life, and God may be chastening you. So letter A tonight, we want to look at confess it. And of course, that's if necessary. It could be that it's not a chastening. It could be one of those other things. But if you clearly know that it is sin in your life, that God is chastening, then what you need to do is confess it. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 13 says, "He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy." Daniel chapter 4 and verse 37, when Nebuchadnezzar figured out what was really going on with God, he humbled himself and said that he praises and extols the God of heaven who is able to abase those who exalt themselves against him. And Nebuchadnezzar clearly is confessing his sin to God. And then Psalm 66 and verse 18 is another wonderful passage of Scripture. Psalm 66 and verse 18. It says, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." So as we go to the process of fixing that which is the difficulty in our life, number one, confess it if that is necessary. Number two, we're to give it to God. Give it to God. Psalms 55 and verse 22. Psalms 55 and verse 22. He says, "Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved." In 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7, it says, "Casting your care upon him, for he careth for you." When difficulties come and we don't understand, when there's all kinds of questions in our mind, we must just give it to God. And say, "Lord, you need to take this burden that I am bearing and lay it at his feet." Now, I can tell you, our human nature is to do that and then pick it back up again. And we have to consciously and consistently lay that back at his feet. "Okay, Lord, I put that back on again, and I don't need that burden. I'm supposed to cast that on your care. Let you care for that. And so here it is again, Lord." And then you go about your time and you figure out, you know what? I've got this big backpack back on me again that I don't need to be carrying around. And it's a conscious effort for us to say, "Lord, I'm going to give this to you." And we constantly need to do that. Give it to God. We may not understand it all. There's going to be a lot of things that we simply cannot answer questions for. But leave that in the hands of the Lord. Letter C. We're to thank God for it. This is the difficult one. Others are difficult as well, but this one particularly. But I'm going to look at a number of passages of Scripture here. Acts chapter 5 and verse 41. Acts chapter 5 and verse 41. We're going to mix a couple of words here, but the same idea is there. Acts chapter 5 and verse 41. "And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name." Now, what was happening in this passage, if you look back on it, that the men had been arrested and they were in pretty big amount of trouble. They commanded them not to speak again in the name of Jesus, and they beat them, the Bible tells us in verse 40. And they walked out of there thanking the Lord that they were worthy to suffer shame for his name. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 9 and 10. We referenced this morning, but notice Paul's attitude again in this passage. "And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, would I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." Look at 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 19 through 24. 1 Peter 2, 19 through 24. He says, "For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it if when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently. But if when you do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Of course, it goes on to talk about how his sacrifice on the cross. So he says, when we endure these things, we are to be thankful. It's thankworthy that we're able to do this. Look at chapter 3 and verse 14, just across the page, probably in some of your Bibles. But, and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. Be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. Look at chapter 4, verses 14 through 16. Chapter 4, verses 14 through 16. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's affair. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. And then 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18 tells us to thank God for everything. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Everything means everything, doesn't it? You'll need to twist that around and say, well, it doesn't mean for this particular time. No, it means everything. That's difficult as we're going through the difficulty. As we have a sickness, or as we have a physical ailment, or whatever it may be, it's hard to say, Lord, thank you that you're putting me through this right now. But that's what we're supposed to do with it. And I know you're sitting here thinking tonight, Pastor, I thought you were going to give us some encouraging words. But you know, we have a choice to be obedient to God. We don't always have a choice about what comes our way, but we do have a choice of whether or not we're going to be obedient to what God has told us to do. So confess it. Give it to God. Thank God for it. Letter D, trust God. This is perhaps where we really are sit down for a few minutes and just really think through it. Trust God. Let's go to the book of Job, because I think that's the best place for us to rest with some of these things. And we'll start in Job chapter 1. Job chapter 1. We have the privilege of seeing the entire story of Job. We're looking at it from a perspective of, well, we know chapter 1, but we've already read the end chapter. And we know what's going to happen. And so in some cases, it almost, if you will, makes chapter 1 and 2 not seem to be so enormous because we already know the end of the story. But Job didn't know that as he was going through it. Job had no clue what the end of this story was going to be. In Job chapter 1 and verse 21, and said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I came with nothing. I'm going to leave with nothing. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Someone watched a hearse go by in a funeral procession, and one guy looked at the other one and said, I wonder how much he left. And the guy said, everything. We're not taking it with us. But we can take that which we lay up in heaven. Both treasures that we lay up there, the eternal giving that we give can be laid up there. The rewards that we're sending ahead by our faithful service, all of those things are laid up where moth and rust doesn't corrupt and where thieves don't break through and steal. Trust God. Look at chapter 2 and verse 10. Chapter 2 and verse 10. And he said unto her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? And all this did not Job sin with his lips. Job had a logical question. Why do you always think we ought to receive good from God? Why is it that we shouldn't sometimes receive bad from him? it's interesting, you, in America, a nation that as a whole has utterly rejected God. They don't want anything to do with Him in their television, don't want anything to do with Him in their newspapers and their print, don't want anything to do with Him in their schools and so forth and so on. And yet when a natural disaster happens, they'll say, what's God doing? Why did He let this happen to us? As if the God you don't believe in is supposed to always be good, if you will. Now, understand, God is always good. But we're not always guaranteed that our perception of good is what God's going to give us. I'm afraid that we accuse America of creating a God that they want to worship. The truth is, many of us in churches has created a God that we want to worship as well. We've created a God that's not the God of the Bible, but is a God we've conjured up in our minds, and that's the God that we want to serve and worship. And when God, the real God, not the one we've created, does something different than the God we've created, we start going crazy. All these questions and everything. Well, is God not supposed to respond that way? Job said, shall we receive only good at His hand? Look at chapter 13 and verse 15. Chapter 13 and verse 15. Though He slay me, yet will I trust in Him. But I will maintain mine own ways before Him. God can kill me. I'm still going to trust Him. It would not surprise me at this point that Job thought that was a very real possibility. He has no idea that God Almighty has put that restriction on Satan. They can't take his life. They can't take it. But Job doesn't know that at this point. Look at chapter 19, verse 25 and 26. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that He shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. Though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. Job just trusted God. Job looked beyond what was currently happening to what was going to happen. Because really, in the perspective of things, we're supposed to always be looking towards eternity anyway. We're not supposed to look at the temporal things. We're not supposed to look at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. And in comparison to this life, Job says, I know that I'm going to see God one day. A resurrection that Job understood long before Christ was risen from the dead. Long before the principles of resurrection were taught in the Bible, Job understood the resurrection. Trust God. Yeah, there were times Job didn't understand, times it seemed to be royally confusing to him. But he kept going back to, I can trust God. Letter E. Earnestly pray. Earnestly pray. James chapter 5. James chapter 5. Verses 14 through 18. James 5. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Now let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. We could probably spend an entire message on this passage and the various views of it and the controversy of it. But here's the point that I want to bring out tonight. God tells us that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And specifically, if someone is sick among you, that we, as brothers and sisters in Christ, should earnestly pray for this person. And that prayer makes a difference. Makes a difference. We don't always get the prayer that we want. We don't always get the answer that we want. But we can still pray and ask God. And it tells us here to earnestly pray. Letter F is connected to this. Pray for grace. Hebrews chapter 4. Verses 15 and 16. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I'm so grateful that we can go to the throne of grace. And in that running into the throne of grace, we can go to our Abba Father and say, Lord, I need mercy and I need grace for what you're particularly asking me to go through. Letter G, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. Realize God will not give you more than you can handle. Realize God will not give you more than you can handle. 1 Corinthians 10:13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. God's not going to give you that which you cannot handle. It doesn't say that God's not going to give you that which you think you can't handle. Because certainly there are times when we feel like we're going to buckle under this pressure. But God's never going to give us more than we can handle. And if we buckle, we can't blame it on God. God, that was too much. It wasn't God's problem. It was our problem. We didn't respond the way we're supposed to in the difficulties. Letter H. We're to share in the sufferings of others. We're to share in the sufferings of others. Perhaps tonight or today you've looked at this and said, well, Pastor, I'm really not going through a difficult trial. So how exactly does this apply to me? Well, number one, someone has once said you're either going into a trial, in a trial, or coming out of a trial. I don't know that that's true, but it certainly seems that way at times. But even if you're not tonight in any one of those three things, the Word of God says that we can bear one another's burdens. Let's look at some passages of Scripture. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 2. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 2. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. So one of our responsibilities as a church is to bear with those others that are going through a difficulty. We're to help bear that burden. And I'm grateful that you folks have done a great job of that already. But I want to remind us that when people go through difficulties, that's one of our responsibilities. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 26. It says, and whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. So when someone that's a part of our body suffers, then we're to suffer with them. We're to help them go through that difficulty. Look at Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. In verse 3. It says, remember them that are in bonds as bound with them. Bound with them, and them which suffer adversity, as being yourself also in the body. Just don't forget those that are in bonds and those that suffer adversity. You're to be just like you're with them. Just as if you're going through those bonds, just as if you're going through that adversity. Sometimes that's difficult for us to do, to place ourselves in what someone else is going through. But we can certainly be a blessing to them and try to help bear their burdens. And like you've done, many, you can pray for them. You can help feed them or help take care of them or do what we would call menial tasks for them. Those are all wonderful things to help lift the burden off of someone going through some things. And God tells us that we can do that and therefore be a blessing to other people that are around us. So what tonight are you going through? What difficulty has God chosen for you to be a part of? We have a variety of them. As I look across the room, I see the burdens that some of you are carrying and know that in some cases there appears to be no answers. It's just like, really? What's going on? And in other cases, people are grieving, and we hear of things all over the world, almost daily, of people going through what we would call unspeakable tragedies. What exactly is God trying to accomplish? I said this morning, God has got a master plan that you and I could not comprehend if He showed it to us. And what we see is one little part of that plan. And perhaps a very unattractive part, if you will. I've seen some ladies putting together quilts or crocheting stuff or putting together different things. And a lot of times underneath what they're doing looks like a mess. You know, if you look at it from the backside, you're going, wow, she's really spent a lot of time on that junk? I mean, that didn't make any sense. Until you see the other side. My grandmother made quilts. And I love her quilts. She's been dead for a number of years. And so once I wear my quilts out, I'm not sure what I'm going to do. The one quilt I'm using now is probably ready for the dump. But it's not going to the dump. I can tell you. Don't mess with my blanket now. I'm just telling you that. Okay? You're like, Pastor, do you really sit with a blanket in your house? Yep. In the winter, I do. Absolutely. Why? Well, I keep it about 60. No, I'm kidding. I enjoy quilts, and it was my grandmother's. Yeah. And if you look at it, though, the underneath side doesn't look real good. But my grandmother knew what she was doing when she put together that quilt. And there's strings and stuff, but it all on the other side comes out to be beautiful. God is the potter, and we're the clay. And God can choose to do with the clay vessel whatever He wants. And He can make one vessel an oil trough. And He can make another one a vessel out of which all other vessels come. And it's ugly and just kind of holds the water that you dip the clay in or whatever. He can make it a beautiful vase. That's the way they'd say it other places. A vase. He can make it just a practical picture. And we, as the clay, don't have any right to say to the potter, whoa, 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 whoa. You're not doing that right. Look, and I'm not trying to be disrespectful, but we do this. Look, pal, that really hurts when you squeeze at the middle to make the section a little bit smaller before the top. That's uncomfortable. We don't have a right to do that. Why? Because He's the potter. And we're the clay. then the clay doesn't have a right to say that to him. Does it hurt sometimes when... Well, yeah. And what happens if the potter raises up a vessel? When he gets the vessel built, if you will, he doesn't like it. And he breaks it down and starts all over again. He's the potter. And he can choose to do that. We like to think, wait a minute. That is unfair for him to make that vessel and then just cut it off in its prime. I mean, who was he to say that that particular pitcher only needed to serve water for 20 years? Who is he to say that? He's a potter. He didn't have to make it to begin with. And that's when we have to go back and say, okay, Lord, there is so much. Let me get the proper English here. There's a lot bigger things going on than we know about, okay? God is doing so many things. And I believe one day we're going to get to heaven and we're going to see the exact piece of the puzzle that we were. When God's going to say, this is why I needed to do that. I know it was hurtful for you. I know you didn't understand it. And I know it made no sense at the time. But here's the big picture. Here's what I was trying to do. Here's why this brought me the most glory. Here's why this drew those people to Christ. Here's why it appeared that I wasted time and resources and so forth. That none of that was wasted. Now, understand, I'm not saying that people's sin choices don't waste some of those things. They certainly do. But in the pruning process that God is working through, we have to say, Lord, thank you the fact that you made me this vessel with this particular usage, with this particular flaw. Because I needed that flaw in order to perform that which you wanted me to accomplish. There's a young man who inherited a house from his father. In the back of the house, it was a small concrete wall that the boy never understood growing up and never really asked his dad about it. But it was just sitting out in the backyard. And it was ugly and served, quote unquote, no purpose. And so when the boy inherited the house, one of the first things he did was took the wall down. Well, he inherited the house in, if I remember the story right, in late fall or early fall. Everything went along fine until the spring rains came. And the house was completely flooded. And he couldn't figure out what's going on. The house never flooded when my dad was here. Why this year? Was it heavier rain than normal in the springs? Nope. Was the snow melt heavier? Nope. Well, what happened? And one guy finally said, there used to be a wall back here. He's like, yeah, I took that old thing down and it served no purpose. He said, yes, it did. That wall diverted the spring rains to a different location and kept the house from flooding all these years. What appeared to be an ugly, useless wall that someone had removed without finding out why cost him a lot of money. Now he got to rebuild that little bitty wall. And God may ask us to be that old wall that for most of the year stands there and does absolutely nothing and gets ugly and collects moss on it. But there's going to be a certain time when there's a particular thing that God needs us for. And if that's all He created us for, guess what? That's right. And we have to trust Him with it. And so as the difficulties come in our life, yes, recognize, okay, this could be chastening. And Lord, if it is, I want to get that right with You. But if not, I'm going to give that to God. I'm going to trust Him completely with it. I'm going to pray that I will be healed if possible if it's a difficulty. If not, that I'll have the grace to go through it, that He wants me to go through it. I'm not going to be burdened down more than I can possibly take. And as a brother and sister in Christ, we can come alongside and shore up them and help them go through those difficult days. Are there still questions in our mind? Sure. There are still questions. Can I completely understand and satisfy your answers? No. Can't do that. Brother Doug and I were talking, I don't know if you saw, those of you that are on Facebook and so forth, on Friday, missionary couple home from the field on furlough, someone broke into their home and murdered the wife. Mother of three little children. And we say, but Lord, why? What were you doing? He knoweth the way that I take. Though He slay me, yet will I trust in Him. And I wish that I could tell you that I have a better answer for you, but that's the answer the Word of God gives us. And that's the answer we have to place our faith on. I love the song when it says, I can't understand the purpose and His plan. I just bow the knee. I just say, okay, Lord, it's Yours. May we do that tonight. Father, thank You for Your Word. I pray today that what we've shared will be an encouragement to our dear people. We sure are grateful that, yes, You're a good God. Not always what we think is good, but You do all things well, and we can completely understand. When we don't completely understand, we can completely trust. May we do that. Lord, for our dear people who are going through some really dark days, some with, Lord, from a human standpoint, almost unspeakable disease and difficulties, others through deaths, some who have friends and family who are either already just died. I think of Wes Parker leaving tonight as he heads down to a death in his family, and other friends and people that we've requested prayer for who are on the verge of that. And Lord, some in here that are unnamed as of yet, burdens that they're carrying into this week, doctor's appointments and things. May we just simply trust You. May we not have to have an answer, though our minds want to know one. And Lord, bless as we move now in the invitation, as Your people do what Your Holy Spirit of God has worked in their hearts to do. And we'll thank You for it in Christ's name.